Did everybody get wet this morning? Anyways, I'm glad to be here this morning. I couldn't go last night to the hayride, which I missed. I've never missed one whenever we've had one before, but from what I've heard, everybody had a good time. So, you know, I got to thinking about this morning, we really have a lot to thank Jesus for, mainly because of his death on the cross. We can stand blameless in the sight of the Almighty God. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's gentle convictions, because we are in Christ, a new creation, free from guilt and shame. Hallelujah. In Psalms 103:10, it says, he does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. We need, just like we were doing, sing praises to our God. In Psalms 81, it says, music and worship go hand in hand, and worship involves the whole person, and music helps lift us and thoughts, our emotions, our thoughts to the Lord. When we're singing and when we're worshiping, through music, we can reflect upon our needs and our shortcomings as we celebrate God's greatness. I forgot my water. Well, never mind. I'll use yours. I won't. As I was thinking of this morning, I said sometimes people think they just praise the Lord for when something's gone wrong. And we do praise the Lord during those times. But you know what? We can praise the Lord just celebrating. We can walk around our house celebrating the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It doesn't always have to be. We do know that when we're praising God, it does help us. It helps when we're going through troubled times and when things are really heavy and when we're carrying around burdens. We can praise God, but we also can praise him just to get up and say, thank you, Jesus. We worship you, almighty God. Hallelujah. You may be asking, does this apply for us today? Should we ask God for great favors and blessings on us personally? God wants to bless us as we are faithfully following him. This promise is not a magic formula or an open contract for personal prosperity through some have abused it for a person to gain. For a lot of people are going around teaching all this prosperity. But we can come to our great King with big requests because he is kind, he is merciful, and he's generous. He wants to fill us and satisfy us with all the good that comes from his loving hands. Now, I'm going to read you a few scriptures that I thought these are so good. And I'm reading from the New Living, but in Psalms 81, it starts with 8. It says, listen to me, O my people, while I give you stern warnings. O Israel, if you would only listen to me, you must never have foreign God. You must not bow down before a false God. For it was I, the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things. But no, my people wouldn't listen to me. Hallelujah. Israel did not want me to be around, so I let them follow their own stubborn ways. Hallelujah. It was their stubborn desires, living according to their own ideas. Oh, that my people would listen to me. Oh, that Israel would follow me, walking in my path. How quickly I would subdue their enemies. How soon my hands would move upon their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him. They would be doomed forever. But I would feed you with the finest wheat. I would satisfy you with wild honey from the rock. Hallelujah. From the rock. And whenever I think, and when I'm reading the word, and whenever I think of Israel, I think LPA, myself, it's us. Hallelujah. They were our examples. Hallelujah. God let the Israelites go blindly, stubbornly, and selfishly when they should have been obeying and pursuing his desires. God sometimes lets us continue in our own stubbornness to bring us to our senses. He does not keep us from rebelling. Because you know why? We have our free will. He wants us to learn the consequences of sin. He uses these experiences to turn people away from greater sin to faith in Him. God also remains faithful in our relationship with Him. If we go astray, He patiently waits for us to respond to His call so He can pour out His blessings upon us. Conduct an inventory of your spiritual life this morning. We each need to do that on a daily basis. Are you listening to God and walking in His path? You need to check yourself. And as I was studying and I come across this verse, this is the New Living. It says, judge yourself before I have to judge you. And the King James is almost the same. For we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. I know the Lord. And that's a harsh saying when you think about that. Judge yourself before He judges you. I thought, oh God, help us. We need to check ourselves on a daily basis to know if we are doing right, if we're living before the Lord the way that He wants us to live. Hallelujah. Father, we come to You this morning, and God, we give You all the praise and all the glory. We worship You, Lord Jesus, knowing, God, that You are here. Your mist is here, Lord God. We thank You, Father God, that You're going to touch and move upon us, Lord God. Oh, help us, Lord God, to do what You want us to do. Help us, Father God, to be obedient. Help us not to be stubborn people, Lord God. Let us listen to what Your word speaks to us, Lord God. Help us, Lord. I give You all glory and praise, Lord. I pray not one person walk out these doors, Lord, that has not sensed Your presence this morning, God. I worship and I adore You and I love You, Lord, and I thank You for all things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Romans chapter 8. I'm going to start at verse 31. The Holy Ghost moved upon Paul to write this in his victory chapter. And it's some of the rhetorical questions that we've asked ourselves over and over again. Of when things go wrong, when we're back against the wall, we don't know what to do. We don't know how to do it. We don't even know when to do it. But God always seems to have a way. In verse 31, Paul writes, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You see the rhetorical questions? Well, duh. Verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, yet in all these things we're more than conquerors. More than conquerors through him who loved us. The New Living Translation says, we have overwhelming victory. Overwhelming. We know how to be overwhelmed by our problems, our issues. But God wants us to have that overwhelming victory. Simply because he loves us. In spite of all your failures, all your shortcomings. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. While we were yet sinners, he still had that love for you. He still sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay that ultimate price. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We know today, God, you got it. No problemo, except on our side of things. God, touch these lips of clay. Touch the minds and the hearts, both here in this sanctuary and over the airwaves through our live stream, as well as our Facebook. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We know today, God, it's your perfect plan and will has already been set in motion. That, God, you're going to do it. And you're going to do it in a big, fantastic way. Because you're going to use your willing vessels. And you get all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Take a few short moments to shake somebody's hand, make a point of contact. Tell them it's good to see them, and it's good to be seen by you. Thank you, worship team. Hang on. Because they're not paying any attention to you, sis. Whoops. Instruct him. Tell him what to do. You're all right.
You are anything but.
He's used to it. He's married. Sister Jean has something to say. Go ahead, sister.
My right eye has been good for a couple of years now, and he told me Thursday I had to have a patch of both eyes. He said, your eyes are getting worse, and I said, I know, but I could tell. I
And then the Lord said to me, go up front on Sunday and get prayed for. So that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. Next. Even though some of these questions are rhetorical, there's some things that are stated very vividly, openly. I can't believe that we're already to the end of 2025. Didn't we just have Christmas? As the year draws to a close, and as we look to another year, even though it seems we had just started the new year last month, what will 26 bring to LPA? But most importantly, what will 2026 bring to you and to your family? Good question, Pastor. I know, that's why I asked it. What will it bring you and your family? Another question that I can ask you is, what is your biggest enemy today? What are you struggling with? I know many, between the aches and the pains and the sicknesses, the so on and so forth, aren't you getting sick and tired of being sick and tired? Is your biggest enemy money? Some of you are just sitting there motionless. What are your struggles? Luckily, we don't fight battles face to face too often with the devil. But God is on the throne. God is on the throne. You don't have to feel like Him, but we must recognize that He still sits on the throne. Because Jesus Christ is still there making intercession for us, as we read in our text. But verse 35, one more time, of our scripture text. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God? Shall tribulation? Tribulation comes in many forms and fashions. Tribulations are those things that poke at us, that prod us, that we think we're getting over it. Next thing you know, we're doing the same stupid thing again, over and over and over again. Then we got to hear, well, why can't you get victory? Maybe you ought to walk in their shoes. It says, shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. There's many things that we struggle with and fight with. The enemy of our soul is John 10:10. Out to seek whom he may devour. He's going to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So the challenge before us is a simple little thing called faith. And faith is a little thing that makes a big difference. All of our faith was originally compared to a mustard seed, the smallest seed on the face of the earth. But when planted in the ground and nurtured into a bush, it can hold birds. Think about that, the smallest seed ever on the face of the earth. What's the thing that's going to stop you from repenting? He goes, oh, I know. If you only knew what I know. Stories could be told. But think about it. The only way that the enemy can destroy you is keep you from repenting. We must repent. We must turn from our wicked ways. The scriptures that we do every service is written for the church because it's in the Old Testament. It was written for the Israelites, the Jews. But thanks be to God, we're engrafted in to the family of God. You'll never be a Jew in bloodline, but we've been adopted. We've been made joint heir with Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost seals it. Amen? What will keep you from being baptized? Seeking the Holy Ghost. You can hear as many sermons about repentance as you could ever want. You can study baptism. You can study the Holy Ghost. You can study healing, deliverance, all the issues, all you want to. But until you act upon them, they are all useless. Meaning you need to exercise your faith. Say, it's by faith, God. I don't understand how you do it. I don't know why you do it for me. Well, I do know, because my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We get special treatment now. Amen? We don't need to hear another sermon or a good word or an exhortation or a Bible study or anything like that. We got Google to ask. I was just saying, if you're paying attention, you know how much I hate Google. Jesus is able to provide whatever is necessary for you to overcome all that has come against you or whatever else will come against you in the near future. Because if he isn't bothering you now, hang in there. He will. There's no doubt about it. But no matter what he takes and attacks us with, we have victory. Why? Because we have a merciful, loving God who wants to hear from us. What will make you give up on God? The Bible in Matthew 12:29 says, or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man and then he will plunder his house? Those things that you need bound will be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. whatever is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. How? By your faith, your words, your mouth. Amen. Bind your strong man. Bind the one that comes to try to steal, to rob from you. Again, Romans 8:35 is important. You don't need someone else to do something. I know I've done it too. Well, if they just sing that chorus one more time. If they'll just have this song. If Pastor Tracy will just use this scripture. We don't need no more signs. We've got all we need right here in the Word of God. Amen. What's the challenge before us? The challenge is stirring up your faith. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 1, 5 and 5 through 12. You just need to believe God. Confess Christ as your personal Savior. Exercise your faith. Don't stand back and sit and wait and see what happens. Because if you don't make it happen, no one else will for you. I love it when we get together and pray for one another. And we're going to have some time to pray here in a few minutes. 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 12. This is sermon number 2. Second Timothy 1, 5 through 12. When I call to the remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is also in you. Paul writing Timothy, his protege. Paul being the mentor to him. Verse 6. Therefore, because of the fact of your mother and grandmother's faith, placing that faith within you, by example, teaching and training their son and grandson. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. It's faith that moves the hands of God. It's not your big, spectacular, tremendous prayer. You know, we kind of make fun of the now I lay me down to sleep prayers. But don't take that away from your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandbabies. It's important. Teach them. Train them. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. What does the world try to throw at us over and over and over again? I still can't believe there's some people that deck out in their face mask and have the face mask down below the nose. A lot of good that did. How terrible is the flu season? Oh, it's just so terrible this year. Your weathermen are guilty of it as well. What's the next storm coming our way? Some of the names that they give the storms, because it's a Arctic thing coming down from Antarctica and so on and so forth. All fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. I'm not telling you anything new or different or new and improved, because faith is still the little thing that makes a big difference. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Yes, you have a sound mind, according to God. Verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and his grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, the good news. We have hope. His name is Jesus Christ. To which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. And verse 12 says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day of his appearing, or until the day that you stand before him. What a glorious promise. By all in faith, no matter what you are and how much Bible knowledge you have or don't have, you have just the right amount of faith to receive the victory today. Romans 12, 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. That's Romans 12 and 3. Then you go to 2 Corinthians 10, 15. Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is in other men's labors, but having hope that is that as your faith is increased, you shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. You notice the pattern? Your childlike faith starts it. And little by little, you grow, you mature. I heard a preacher the other day, and it brought to my remembrance a preacher that when he testified, I think he was in Stewart Road, and his name slipped me. He said, you know, God is getting tired of parting the mustache to stick the bottles in. He doesn't want us to stay on milk of the word. He wants the meat of the word in us. Amen. Psalms 78. I'm going to read just a few verses. If you turn there with me, I must read 40. How often they provoked him in the wilderness, meaning the Israelites, constantly whining and sniveling, constantly arguing with God, constantly trying to do what they wanted to do, when they wanted to do. Who does that sound like in 2025? Sounds an awful lot like his church. Amen. Yes, verse 41. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Verse 42, they did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy, how he miraculously brought them from Egyptian bondage. But it cost them 40 years and most of their lives because they didn't see the promised land. I'm going to ask our worship team to come back. Our LPA Wall of Fame, Signs, Wonders, and Miracles. This is just a little bit, because I know some of you have not followed through and wrote down God's intervention and miracles that you are walking in. We need to share. We need to testify. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I asked Tanea to skip this one until the last. We all know this. We're all familiar with it. It's called reckless love. He's willing to fight for you. But you got to step in the ring. You got to get with the program. Will you step it up? Will you pick it up? Will you do what you know to do when he is prompting you to do it? Go ahead and hit the play button. I'll keep